Earners, what's up? Look, the holiday season is supposed to be about joy and celebration, but let's be real. Finances could take a serious hit this time of year. Have you ever found yourself dipping into your savings or even adding to your credit card debt just to cover some holiday expenses? I know I've been there, and those months of catching up afterward, they're not fun. But what if you could approach this holiday season differently, without the stress? That's where Chime comes in. With a Chime checking account, you get features designed to help you stay in control of your money, like no monthly or maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, and my personal favorite, getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Think about it. No surprise fees draining your account and the flexibility to handle those holiday expenses when they pop up. Let me tell you about SpotMe. I remember a time when an overdraft fee hit me just because my timing was off with my paycheck. It was frustrating and unnecessary. With Chime, you don't have to deal with that. SpotMe lets you overdraft up to $200 without fees, and your next deposit just covers the balance. And here's something unique. Chime is all about community. You can even get a boost from a friend to temporarily increase your SpotMe limit. And when you help a friend out, they can boost you back. It's a real give and take that makes managing your finances feel a little more supportive. Millions of Chime members are making financial progress every day. To date, Chime has spotted members over 32 billion in transactions through SpotMe. And with access to over 50,000 fee-free ATMs, you can take care of your money anytime, anywhere. So enjoy the holidays while keeping your financial goals on track with Chime. Open your account in just 2 minutes at chime.com/earn. That's chime.com/earn. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debt card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Direct deposit timing depends on submission of payment file. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limit. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs and for OTC withdrawals.
You made it through all the starts and stops of your tech business. And when you're with Amex Business Platinum, you can count on a network of benefits to keep going, including access to over $1,000 in business and travel value annually. And thanks to 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, you and your plugged-in engineers can get rewarded for working in the cloud. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
All right, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back.
We back.
Live from Atlanta.
New digs.
For sure, man. You know, it's
I love it.
Anytime we're in Atlanta, we always, you know, magical moments happen for sure. You know, Invest Fest, stuff like that happens. So good to be back in the city, and we with an Atlanta native.
Yeah, born and raised.
For sure.
That's a fact.
Paige Addison.
Yes.
Somebody that we connected with. When did we first meet?
Revolt Summit.
Well, yeah.
4 years ago?
Stage. Yeah, like 4 years, right?
Yeah. Damn. 2019?
Probably
2020.
Maybe 21.
Nah. 2021. I was on y'all stage already.
Yeah, it was before Invest Fest. Because we already had that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
21.
Well, either way.
We known each other for some years.
Okay, was it?
Yeah, it's been some years.
It's been a minute. So entrepreneur, host, personality, reality TV star.
Let's not.
This is our first. It's the first for us, right?
Sure. So you do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But, first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Like, this was, I know it probably was like, okay, Paige, we'll put that in contract. We'll get y'all, give you a little talk. You know what I'm saying? I know you like, yeah.
Yeah, everything earned. Everything earned.
No, I really appreciate it, though. And you guys have really, what you guys have built and like over the time that I have known you guys has just been like incredible to watch. So
much appreciated.
Really, really proud of y'all.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's start. Like, how does it start for you as far as becoming popular in Atlanta, then kind of hosting events and an entrepreneur? Like, where does this actually all start?
Truthfully, it starts when I'm in high school. Like, you know, I think being a kid that's born and raised and having Atlanta, like being an inner city kid, you kind of have an experience that no one else has.
What part of Atlanta are you from?
So I'm from Lithonia, like Ellenwood area, West of Chapel.
That's north?
That's east.
Help us.
That's east side. That's the east side.
Okay.
But a lot of people would be like, That's not Atlanta.
It's like a suburb.
Well, it's a nicer area for sure.
You're a good story to tell too, because you speak from a point of like, you come from a successful family. Right?
Yeah, an entrepreneurial background with family members that truthfully, like, put their heart and love into the community, any community. So my family's from South Carolina, but I was the only one born in Atlanta.
And your father is an entrepreneur.
Yeah, dentistry 30 years.
And your mom?
Plus, and she helped start his business, which she was like literally like manager, like accountant, everything.
Whatever you needed, my mom knew how to do.
And so coming from a family of them and then also being in the city of Atlanta, high school was in North Atlanta, so I was able to go to APS school, which had an IB program, International Baccalaureate. So like we were challenged at an earlier age to like really push ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that really is important because I think people don't talk about it enough in Atlanta. Like when we ask what high school you went to, it kind of like it's determining what questions and like things you were exposed to at a younger age. And so, yeah, we've made it our lives work to like always show like, okay, well, like Black excellence doesn't mean you have to come from whatever you came from. Like, let's like show up, show out.
Yeah. And you've seen that every day as you go home. Mm-hmm. Are you the kid obviously watching entrepreneurial parents? Are you the kid that on Saturdays you going to work at the family business?
Oh, yeah, for
as
sure.
You're growing up?
For sure.
What was those experiences like for you?
Like, especially when I realized like, they're not going to just be giving us money. Like, we're not going to have an allowance. Like, it was like, no, y'all going to work for everything. My mom comes from humble beginnings. My father does too. His parents were educators as well. But, you know, I think them coming together and parenting, their parenting style was like, what we're not going to do is make y'all spoiled. Like, y'all will know the balance of hard work and like earning everything you got, earning your leisure, pun intended, you know, and understanding that, like, you know, it's just everything in life is not free. It's you gotta take it, you know? Definitely spent, you know, some mornings answering Addison Dental Office, how may I help you?
Still got
Addison Dental and Associates, how may I help you? Okay, call, hold, like, you know, transfer, like, you know.
So when did you get into hosting?
I got into hosting by seeing my dad, his like, you know, hobby was to have a dance, like a I wouldn't say it was a band. It was like, say they're performers for the governor's ball or for a hunger, you know, the hunger walk, which is like benefit walks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so him and his band, they would get together. They all had their own professions, but I would see my dad not just be one thing. You know what I'm saying? Like one dimensional Black people just don't exist. Like nobody's one dimensional, but like, you know, we gonna have a couple of trades. And so my dad and a couple of other, his friends, you know, one would play the bass. Actually, my cousin Anissa, that's her parents were actually in the band. Brene, you know, Anissa.
Oh,
Brene.
Yeah.
So we were literally like kids of performers. So we were able to see them enjoy themselves, be on stages literally full of thousands of people at a young age to see them entertaining people and then go and do their lives and just kind of be. And entertaining was always something I made sure I wanted to do instead of like being like the pretty girl that's just like, okay, yeah, like y'all have my section, y'all get my bottles. So I realized what I didn't want to do in college. And so in high school, I always do parties. I always, like from a younger age, I would perform. I was in a dance studio at my godmom's dance studio from like I was like 10 every Saturday from 6 a.m. to like 5 p.m. I'm in a studio, just dance, tap, jazz, yeah, ballet, all of the things. And so it was always like a theatrical. I was like a lover of the arts. And so my family being the people that they were, like, okay, if you have a gift, you will have to like foster. We're going to foster it. So, that was it.
So even during that, because it sounds like, and knowing you a little bit, it's like entertainment was the thing.
It was always a thing.
Right. But you have entrepreneurial parents, right? Yeah. And so it gets a bit interesting. It's like, yes, you have this passion and this gift for entertainment. Mm-hmm. They're coming from an entrepreneurial of actually building a business. Mm-hmm. Was there conflict there with like, hey, that's the direction the family is going. My natural gifts and God-given gifts are leading me this way. Were you like struggling with that, or were like, how do we find a fine blend?
So in high school, I took a course called the Dallas Austin program, and that was like after school program, right? So, you know, after school programs in the city, you typically, you don't know what you're going to get. And this one was like an elevated after school program. We had mentors that were managing artists, like somebody, you know, Brian Jennings, shout out to Brian Jennings, shout out to Tamiko Hope. They were my first mentors, and I'm 17, 16 years old, and being exposed to, you know, music artists, music producers, DJ Scream, DJ Spins, Zaytoven, Shoddy Low. Like I'm meeting these people in real time at the height of their careers at like 16, 17. And I realized that what was great to see was to see that they were still business people, but they were able to like really, truly be in their creative bag. And I'm like showing my parents this. And so my parents would say, okay, they own that business. Okay. How is that doing? You know, how are they able to scale that? And knowing that they see that, and then they see that they're still creatives, they're like, okay, we can appreciate it. Mm. Cause I think for my dad, like I said, it was always just a lover of the arts, but it wasn't something that he knew he was going to like focus on making money from. And I think me, I was just like, okay, well, I'm about to show y'all. We can make some money off this. This can be a profit. You know, we can make some profit off this.
So how do you make money? Like, how do you start making money from
hosting?
Yeah.
So I started off in college, and, you know, in Miami, I went to school in Miami. You kind of realize everybody's a promoter, but what type of promoter do you want to be, right? You want to be the one that's like, okay, I don't want to be on South Beach. I know that there are parties that are going on down there, but like, there's a lot of like, I'm gonna be just frank, drugging. Like, I remember one party there was somebody that like roofied one of my like champagne bottles, and like I threw up in this guy's hand. It was like a crazy story. Mm. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm like fresh out of high school. I had never even had a college like experience like this before. So I was like, all right, I don't want to be down there. Mm-hmm. I want to be where the people are that are just being authentic to themselves, enjoying themselves, showing up as themselves, have a background of understanding that like we want to have a safe, good time, but also like we want to be somewhere exclusive. How do you become that person? Okay, well, be in those places and then enjoy the shit out of yourself. Like I saw a video of Denzel telling Snoop, I enjoy how you enjoy life. And yeah. Like, I loved that, because being that person that is enjoying themselves in every place that they're in, whether everybody else having a good time or not, it's you're going to stand out. And so I would always say, okay, well, I'm about to be here. Y'all want to pull up over here, talk with the person that's doing something. I started curation at a younger age because I'd already been doing it in high school. And I'm like, okay, we having a house party, pull up. But to be able to monetize, I'm like, okay, well, let me go get the sponsors that are going to be there that would give us free drinks, or let me reach out to some people that are, you know, have some rank in the city and that would pull up with some good people, not some people that's like, who are these folks? Like, why did you bring these folks up in here? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also like bring the environment that like, you know, you're going to have a good time. Get a good DJ. The music is always right, you know? And so curated the vibes, and then it would just be some, you know, it would start off like 500, you know, okay, cool. All right, well, Paige, if you can do 250 for, you know, this, and then I'll give you a shot at having somebody there that you, you know, you rock with. So I started managing an artist shortly after high school. I started managing a producer, you know, so I have something to leverage that they would want somebody there, but I'm also using those people for leverage too. Like, okay, hey, this person's trying to get out. Can you give me a cheaper price to host, but I put this person on a platform? So I always utilize my platforms to put somebody else up, and it was always consistent. I was always consistent.
That was happening in Miami, or that was happening here in Atlanta?
Miami, Atlanta. I was in college. This is crazy to say, but I was in college and I was repping, because I started with PR like right out of high school, and I was repping a producer named Jimbo Slice. He went to high school with me. And I was in college, and he was doing sessions with The Remedy, with Done Deal and people. And like, you know, I would set it up. He would be with Thug, Future, all those people. And I'm like getting calls while I'm in the class, on my way to finite math class. And they're like, hey, so this session didn't go too well, or this session went great, or they're trying to get this placement, all these things. And so it was something that like I didn't know I was doing that was ahead of my time, kind of, because I was kind of growing as I go. But I knew that I had the background, because in the Dallas Austin program, you had to learn the business ins and outs, whether you wanted to sing, whether you wanted to do PR, whether you wanted to do management, whether you wanted to produce, you had to learn the business. Mm-hmm. And so because I started off as an artist and was like, I want to sing too, just like my daddy, and found out that the money wasn't going to really add up unless I worked overly overtime, and I just enjoyed it, I was like, no, I have to find another way to entertain.
At some point, does it become too much, like trying to juggle the management side and everything you got going on outside of school and trying to figure out?
Yes, I'm gonna be it actually did.
So did you finish school?
It literally like blew up in my face. Like, I remember one day, and he was like, yo, shot, because he was a white producer, and they were like, yo, it's just not gonna work. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's not gonna work. And I was like, no, like, things will be fine. Like, and they were like, nah, like, we're gonna have to redo this whole infrastructure. And I was like, all right, well, honestly, I can't continue with you guys without the person that I brought in. So I'm gonna just, you know, bow out, and I'm gonna just figure out what I need to do from after college. So I, like, really after that, after I had too many ties still in Atlanta, scared to be fully in Miami, I was like, okay, let me really engulf something here. So I started art curation. I started, you know, working with the GMCV for an internship, which is the people that, the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. So they bring in Miami Spice Week. They bring in Art Basel. They had a Black Hospitality Initiative that brought in the first Black Art Basel, where the Black artists were, you know, really put on a platform and given the right pedestal that they needed, they deserved. And so, you know, being the person that was working with the only Black contemporary gallery owners there, you know, trying to make sure I'm in that space fully, not just trying to be in Atlanta, trying to do this, you know, have a little whoop-de-whoop, make a little couple of change off placement that wouldn't get to me for like, who knows how long. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would always have my hand in and out of the music industry. And I was like, find a way to have it be fully immersed in that space that you're in and staying present in it. So that's where we kind of.
So like, you do big events, right? Like, you mm-hmm. hosted Revolt Summit and mm-hmm. of course InvestFest.
Yeah.
Every year, actually, for InvestFest. So a major part of that, because that's something that people don't really realize that, you know, that's an important aspect from start mm-hmm. to finish, and curating the vibe, keeping the crowd engaged, you know, knowing how to transition from speakers, bringing the crowd back out to lunch. Mm-hmm. So, A, can you speak about the art of that? Because it is something that it is a talent. Mm-hmm. And B, what's the business like for that? Like, as far as, are you negotiating like a rider? Do you have like, you know, on that level of an InvestFest, of a Revolt Summit, like, what's the business for that?
I kind of took over the understanding that I had a gift that I had to understand was niche, right? Like, nobody can do what I do, like how I do it. No one can. And, you know, I think one time someone once told me, like, all you're doing is going up there and introducing people. And I was like, no, it is an art form. People have to truly trust that what you're about to say with that mic, and understanding that the power that of your voice, it holds weight. It has value. It brings value to every room you step into. Mm-hmm. And I think when, you know, having platforms given like Revolt Summit, or I think even further back, like, you know, AT&T came here for 404 Day. I was my first big check, like 10 racks just off of being me. Like, and that was 2018, 2017. And I was just like, okay, like, this is what I deserve. Mm-hmm. But I had just come from doing $7.50 an hour or something really small just to be host for an 8-hour event or something. It was something crazy. And I realized, I was like, this is how you bring over your managerial things that you help, or your consulting that you help with other people to over to your, you know, to yourself, you know. Let people know, okay, yeah, so I do need a writer. I do need these things to feel comfortable to be myself in these spaces, right? I need all of the materials that you guys are going to want me to say, right? Before y'all get up, I need to know how to do improv. Like, there might be a moment that y'all are like, Paige, mm-hmm. stall. There has literally been moments that y'all have been like, hey, so Shawty not here yet. We need to go ahead and run it. And it's like, all right, cool, let's do something. Let's do something fun. Let's make people get up out of their seats. Let's let them make sure they're enjoying their time. And understanding that a party host and somebody that's in the club host may not be able to host in front of a crowd for a conference, and understanding how to be both, right? Understanding how to be who that is in every setting. So, yeah, I realized that I was like, okay, if you guys are going to continue to bring me back, there has to be something that I do to continue to build, make my craft better, right? So I would study the greats. Like, I'm studying, I'm talking with Terrence. I'm watching how, you know, Steve, when he walks out, he's cracking a joke. Like, make sure the room doesn't feel too stuffy. Like, why are we're not curing cancer. We're genuinely here to enjoy our lives and learn something in every room and every day. We need to feel like we're learning something new. And so, you know, when I go up there and I give, you know, I'm not a motivational speaker, but I say, I release the pattern of my consciousness that creates resistance to my own good. Why are we here? We're releasing some type of pattern that someone had probably put on us to unlearn, to just grow. Like, that's what we're all here for. We're all in a perpetual state of just trying to figure out, like, what the next thing we want to grow in and do better. So I just realized, like, being consistent as my personality, one, showing up as myself, period. Like, y'all having a bad day, that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's not my problem. Like, I just really got to show up as me. Making sure that people respect me, like, understanding that, like, I'm not just like, okay, yeah, she's bad, but, like, is she by her business? Always. Never not been about my business. My mother's name is Sharon. She do not play. She don't play about the people around me. She asks questions. She makes sure I ask questions. And so I think that's always been the thing. And also remembering that, you know, people will treat you and give you what you think you deserve, right? So if you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's fine. Y'all ain't got no green room. That's fine. Okay, cool. All right. Y'all ain't got no green room. That's fine. But just know it might be a little hectic if you don't have that. Like, you're going to keep seeing me. You're going to be like, damn, why is Paige everywhere? Because I'll have a green room. And so I think there have been things that I've learned and what I need to ask more of and what I see when people are growing that I want to give the grace. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, y'all don't have access to that yet, or y'all haven't figured out what that looks like. And you have to be able to be the person to be like, okay, I know you didn't ask for this advice, but this helps me help you better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to pour that into you before I pour it into you in a way of like, hey, y'all got me messed up. Like, I ain't about to be doing this with y'all no more. Relationships are so important. I don't play about it. I don't play about the people that rock with me. So, you know, why treat it like it's just nothing? You know, treat it like it's something that it's a baby. Everything you do is a baby. It's got to be fostered.
Yeah, to talk about the growth, right? Because obviously you've been a vital part of InvestFest, and we appreciate everything you've done.
Yeah.
But as you've come back every year, we've seen the growth in you, right? We've seen that you know, understanding your worth, and we've also seen building a team around you, right? So talk about that, because you come from a viewpoint of, yes, you've managed people, but now you yourself, right, with now establishing new gigs and new opportunities, you have somebody in place to say, all right, I need help. I need to be managed.
Yeah. And I think I remember the day that happened, because I was actually managing an artist and Neela at the time. And my mentor told me I could, like, she was like, yeah, you can. Excuse me. She was like, you can do this. And I was like, wait, no. Like, I'm just fresh out of college. I don't know what to do. You know, I just did, you know, Revolt Summit. Well, that was Revolt Conference at the time. And they had me on board as like a travel coordinator with help underneath somebody that was like in the ranks. And I remember Andre Harrell coming to me being like, yo, listen, I have to use this person for something else. I need you to genuinely take over and just handle this. And I was like, okay, there's 500 talent here. There's Cardi B wants a car to go to the mall. These drivers were supposed to be only for this thing, this thing. How do I manage this? And I'm like, you gotta make sure that people know that you know what you're doing. And so you just have to trial and error, right? And so I trialed and errored half of my career because I'm like, okay, no one's gonna be able to say, like, she didn't try. You know, if I failed, then, like, I mean, it was most likely just a lesson. And for the most part, it came so quick when it would be something I needed to learn. It'd be like, okay, cool. Don't do that. Got you. No hard feelings. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you could have done this, but you didn't. What did you take away from it? Move on. And so after I realized, you know, managing an artist and me hosting and me leveraging my personality to be on the stages and being like, oh, you know, I want to put my artist on here, but you guys can give me cheaper. You guys can pay me like less if I can put my artist on here. And they were like, okay, cool. So what your artists do? Like what are we supposed to be doing with this? And I was like, okay, I might be getting ahead of myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I taking care of myself first and then bringing the people up that deserve to come up with me? And so that's when I kind of realized, I was like, I need more advice, help. It just started off going to mentors, going to people that were like, and I would go to people and they'd be like, you don't need a manager. You've got this. And I'm like, no, I need help. I don't know what to write back in the emails. But I would use my knowledge from my mom and my dad's dentistry, you know, and like being like, okay, you know how to type an email structure. You know how to say, hello, hi, what's his name, comma. You know what to say, but how do you keep the conversation going to where it grows into something else? And I think basically I would just go to people every year just asking, hey, a little piece of advice that I can get from you. I would interview people on my platform. I would, I would call them up and just be like, okay, quick, this person's asking me if I can do this for this. What would you say? That would be it. And then it was like, okay, I need someone behind me. Who is that person going to be? Trial and error. Some people I would do 90-day trials with. Some people I would do 30-day trials with. Currently, I'm not managed by anyone. I did a 90-day trial. I realized, okay, there are more things I need to be asking for. and I need to know what to ask. And I think that's where I'm at, in that space of like wanting representation, and knowing what representation looks like to me, and knowing that like when you walk in a room and I walk in a room, okay, we might not be walking hands side by side or anything, but we're like on a mission in here. We understand we eat what we kill. We understand, you know, whatever comes back to us is something that we really went forward and like built a relationship and said, okay, we'll follow up, and actually followed up, you know? I think it's been a tough journey with managers and just representation, because I think I've done a good job. I've made it look easy. I've done it a little too easy with making it look easy that, okay, I got this gig over here. How did you get that? Who set that up for you? They texted me. They DM'd me. MTV? Yeah. I mean, they reached out to my friend through DM. Like, you know, there are certain things that just, I can't explain it. It's favor.
God did.
Favor ain't fair to everybody. But I do know that there are certain things that I'm like, I'm waiting for that person to walk into a room and be like, okay, yeah, Paige, like, I got this for you. I'm like, what? I sealed the deal.
So talk about PSA. Like, how does that come about, and what does that entail?
Well, my initials are Paige Sheree Addison. And when I was a kid and I realized what initials I had, I was like, I should be a rapper with this. I was like, PSA, it's a PSA coming to you always. No, and then I realized, I was like, okay, no. So public service announcement, I was doing PR. My name is Paige Sheree Addison. How do you make it feel like everything you do is a public service announcement? And so I really got down on my knees and prayed about it. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was like, what do I need to show up as with PSA? One, people have been getting over on me for years of connections. And I would always be like, you're not getting over. My stuff going to come back. Like, my blessings always come back. But then it was like, nah, like, you need to have a consulting fee. You need to have a business. And so I started that in 2017. Right out of college, was just like, okay, what does this look like? You know, you offer PR services, you offer a PR press list, you know, for the people's companies, you offer, services for, in lack of better words, you know, brand management. You know, I did brand management for God Is Dope, right out of college. There were so many things that I was just growing in and trying to do that would add onto the list of what I'm able to do. Right. Cause as an entrepreneur, you kind of have to be a jack of all trades. So when I realized I could monetize it, I was like, okay, let me at least monetize it with a proper name. So PSA, management and consulting, you know, we've been doing what we can for different companies that a lot of people just don't know. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, she just do hosting. Oh, she just do, you know, she does PR from time to time. And it's like, no, I actually have a fee and a website and a Calendly for you to set up a meeting with me, you know, like
it's a real business.
Yeah, it's real business around here. And I had a godmom that was, you know, she fam. My family's always been a full of like boss women, right? That like implemented things. I mean, literally, my godmom, she implemented the first into Ebenezer Baptist Church, right? She was the first one to implement a system to be able to have the stream live stream. Like the sermons live streamed, even to help set up their website. Like, you know, things like that where it's just like there's someone behind the scenes that's helping these people.
So from a consultant standpoint, what have you done for businesses or what do you see businesses make mistakes in? Like, as far as like, how do you
trying to find, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I've helped their businesses grow by brand management usually. So I'm like, okay, well, that just doesn't make sense. Why would you have somebody in the building that you feel can, you know, is really good at this thing, but right now you don't need them in that area right now. So you just decide to put them on something else. No, you need to have somebody that is actually like literally a genius at what they do, a whiz at what they do, and then bring them on board and then have them on that thing so that that thing can be exactly what helps y'all scale. I think people just make the common mistakes of being like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, so you can go out, you know, everybody needs to do everything. Everybody needs to, like, you know how to shoot, right? Okay, well, let's do that. And that can be a thing for until a certain point. Like, you know, Kendrick just dropped his album today. He says Dave Free was doing his DJing, his managing, you know, he was helping shoot, like, the video, like, all these things. But, like, what do you, until you get to a certain point, that's cool, and then you need to go find the people that really do that at the best of their ability and make that their life's work and bring them on board. And then that's how you continue to grow, you know? So that was my logic. I would come in with, I think, a logic that was kind of like, why would you do that? Now, when it came to other people's stuff, it's always like, yeah, it's easy, you know? And then when it comes to your stuff, you're like, oh my God, it's so much scatterbrained and, you know, it doesn't feel so easy then. And so I try not to be a hypocrite about it. I try to be very like understanding and graceful when I have clients or people that come to me for genuine advice. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, like make sure you understand that this advice that I'm going to give you, if you don't take it, it's not something I'm going to take for, you know, for granted, but I do still need my check.
Run me my check. So, I mean, you talked about running your check. You talked about getting monetized.
Pop-ups.
I mean, I wonder, because this is a conversation we've never even had, even at some of our dinners.
Yeah.
How are you at managing the money, right? Because it's one thing to get the money.
Yes.
It's another thing people tell you to invest, and obviously we'll get into some of the businesses that you started, but yeah, like, managing money is not the easiest thing, and that people get lost in that, right? They think, I got to make it, but it can go as quickly as it came. Mm-hmm. So how are you, when you started getting that money, like that AT&T $10,000 check, coming out of high school, I already know how I'm thinking about it, right, at that age. And obviously, as you grow and mature, the checks start getting a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. How are you dealing with that?
Honestly, I go to all of the women in my family, and the women are the ones that truly, I mean, and the men, but like the women I see always know how to save. My mom was always a person that was a stickler, like of like saving, right? Like you want to save, but you also want to invest. That was my aunt, right? So my sister, she like has a, I don't know if you guys have read her book and have the children's book on financial literacy, but we always knew that investing was something that was the most important when we had our money, right? And so, you know, saving it is one thing. But going to my mom and my sister and them saying, hey, we're about to get this property or this land and blah, blah, blah. What are we going to do with it? Well, we'll have it just for when we're ready to cultivate, you know, and build it up. And it's like, okay, cool. All right. I might not know why, but I know it'll be something that comes in handy at one point, right? And I think trusting the mentors and the wisdom of people that have come before you and why and how their lives have been able to be, and you watch the people, right? You watch what they do with their money. You watch how certain people, you know, I'm like, for lack of better words, F it off. You know, you see how like they treat, you know, they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, car got wrecked, we'll get another one. It's like, what? No, like, why didn't you just drive around in the whip with the house, but you chose to go get the necklace or this, you know, it just wasn't, I watched how people manage their money first and then I would go to their, for them advice, you know? And so, when we started our financial group of our family in like 2020, my sister was kind of just like, okay, like she was mad about the Apple split. She was like, she was just pissed. And she was like, we need to start a family investment group. And so, I wasn't always involved in it because I always was like, I trust what y'all tell me what to do with my money. So I'm just going to save it. And then whenever y'all tell me for the next move, I'm going to just move it. And so we started a group called the PFIC. And it was the investment club that we started for our family. And so we've grown our portfolio like 32% since we started.
When did you start?
2020.
So what do you invest in?
You know,
I mean, not like Zach.
I'll say stocks.
Okay.
But I will say NVIDIA has been one that we've been hearing about since, you know, I guess, what is that, 2021? And I've been, you know, I've just been like, all right, cool. Send $100 every month. We, you know, we have our annual meetings. We have people in place where we have, somebody's a treasury, some treasurer, someone's the secretary. My mom might be the president of it. My aunt might, you know, and it's just so beautiful to watch because we actually had a video go viral where my cousin Whitney posted it while, you know, we had our annual meeting this past September. And I wasn't even there, but I was like, I had been on Zoom because we do a call in. And next thing you know, it's on like all these Black Love pages on, it's going viral. And they're like, oh, I want to be a part of that family. Or how do I get started and everything? And I'm just like, literally, it's all about organization, you know, like honestly trusting the people that you, and you know, everybody's blood, you know, doesn't make them closer, but trusting the people that you put around you, trusting that their knowledge and their wisdom that they went to school for or learned was truly something that could help you. Like,
break this whole thing down. How many people's involved? What's the procedure? How do you decide to invest?
Oh, see, and then honestly, I'm not even going to cap you down. I only know that we started with probably like 15 of 20 of us. And it's just grown.
All family members?
Yeah, on my mom's side.
Okay.
And everybody, you have to put money in?
Definitely have to put money in every month.
Every month. Mm-hmm. The same amount or different people put? You could put
$100 every month.
That's the mm-hmm. threshold.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's definitely, I don't want to get too into it because I'm not the most, knowledgeable on it. I just know I trust my family. I know I've seen what we doing with the money. I see what is going on. I'm like, all right, cool. I got to, you know, and then I have my own portfolio. And, you know, and I think, you know, it's so funny because I had just set up my Roth IRA with Fidelity the day before InvestFest. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, my mom, she helped me. She had some money set away from like my parents had helped set up a trust that had been, you know, there for a long time. And she had been telling, because my mom is the mom that's like, I'm gonna repeat that you need to do this and you'll hear it. And even to my boyfriend, like to my family boyfriend, anybody that knows me knows that like she's the lovable person, but once she gives you that advice, she's not gonna come up off it. She's telling you it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And when people start listening to the people around them that truly love and support and pour into them and know and have actual knowledge, like my mom was, she was like one of the first Black people like in the corporate world and Bank of America when I was like, before I was even born. And, you know, I mean, the women, like I said, the women around me have lots of knowledge. The men around me have lots of knowledge and wisdom. So why don't you utilize that? Find those mentors in your family. Find those mentors within, you know, their family or their mm-hmm. connections, you know, network, mm-hmm. you know, and just because networking looks like outside of your family, incredible, you would never know the knowledge that somebody has in your family if you don't ask them.
It's important. Yeah. What you're speaking of, it's very rare. We don't see enough of it, mm-hmm. and perhaps we should see more of it of families doing something like you just.
I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, it's very rare, but it's definitely commendable. Mm-hmm. I want to transition to something that you actually have put some money into, And every time we go to events, we see you pop up. We were just at was it a BET weekend? And we came outside and sold a business. Let's talk about Soulful Bowls, where the idea came from, the money that it took to start it, and why this avenue became your new passion.
Yeah, well, I definitely saw, especially being in the music industry and on-the-go personality, a lack of healthier options that were on-the-go for people like us, right? We're just always moving. We're always, you know, like the quicker option is always better. But instead of the quicker option being healthy, it would always be something that's like, man, I don't need to be eating this. How did I end up here? Knee deep in a chocolate milkshake from Chick-fil-A. And I'm going to say yes to it every time until it was like, okay, we're in the quarantine. We can't go outside. You know, what is an option that I can do that I can make for myself while I'm in the house, while I'm doing my yoga, while I'm starting my day off on a relaxing, you know, vibe? Like, how do I keep the vibrations high? Okay, cool. I'm gonna make an acai bowl. I learned acai from actually going to college in Miami. I would have never been exposed to other cultures, fruits, anything if I hadn't left Atlanta, right? So I got into Spelman. I got into, you know, Hampton. I got into all these places that, you know, they were great options, but I hadn't left the nest in a way of I knew I was going to be exposed to something that was beyond me. And so I'm going to class with people who are bringing plantains in for lunch. I'm going to class with people who are bringing mangoes. And I'm like, I eat apples and oranges and stuff. And you feel like, you kind of feel like you're ignorant damn near, because you're just like, damn, like what I've been doing for my whole life. But if you haven't been exposed to it, you just haven't been exposed to it. So I had a friend of Jamaican descent. She's like, okay, we're going to get some acai bowls. Or she made some, I think, at home from scratch. She's put a banana, some, you know, almond milk or milk or whatever. And, you know, you have the packet and then you put the fruit in and you blend it. And I'm just like, okay, put some granola on top. This is nice. You can put whatever fruit you want, put it on there. So I was like, okay, cool. So I took that with me all the way to, you know, getting older and then realized like this was something that was a healthier snack, but it wasn't something that would make me feel groggy or like I had too much. I could have more. But it also gave me energy. Like it felt healthy, but it wasn't, it tasted still like a smoothie in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And so when I realized I would go on live, I called it Soulful Bowls because I would play music, I would sing. So like, mind you, music has always been the fore, like it's always going to be behind anything I do.
We had a classic karaoke night.
We did. And I wanted, and I wanted it to happen again because I'm not going to lie. Ad-lib karaoke, I'm on to something. Beauty is her name. Drew Hill, you... If you don't do the ad-libs, you're not singing the song.
True, true.
But so I think when you're showing people on live that you're genuinely enjoying yourself and you're making a snack for yourself while you're in the house, not moping, not going off on the internet, wasting time, I think people truly liked this. I was like, okay, making a soul bowl today. So I would get off live and I would probably get back on like later on. And people would be like, Paige, When are you gonna make me a soul bowl? Like when you gonna start making these for everybody? I'm like, let me go ahead and buy this domain real quick while we in this thing, because you don't never know what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Now I didn't know if we were gonna get out of quarantine and, you know, events were even gonna come back. So I was like, first of all, why would you even not ever have a trade? Like, you know, you need to be moving right. You need to have a trade. You need to have something that you're doing other than hosting. And so I just started the business and grew and to learn. My godmom, God rest her soul, she had cancer. So I would sit with her every so often. I would talk about it and she'd be like, okay, so what does it look like? Like, what does the brand story look like? What is the, what do the cartons look like? You know, what are you telling people the benefits of it are? Like, did you decide that you want to just make it a regular bowl or brick and mortar? Or do you want to do direct to consumer? Like, there was all these different options. And so we were watching, do you guys watch Ozarks?
Yeah.
It's an incredible show.
Yeah.
Watching it. She's like, man, Marty Bird got it set up. She's like, you got to set it up for us. I was like, go on Google, looks for like distributor for like acai, find it like the first one. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I just might've got it. I said, I'm going to do something with this. I'm making, I promise you. And just kept going. Like every so often I would come back to something else to add to it. And that would be my favorite thing about it. And so when I would add, you know, an element of instead of making the bowls from scratch, I would get them, I would pre-make them and pre-package them. And then I would have a recipe, getting with a chef. Shout out to Chef Day. She literally would sit with me and we would go over different what recipes. Now, mind you, obviously soulful bowls has to have some type of music element. So the peaches bowl was supposed to be the Patty bowl. The ladies bowl was the Aretha bowl. The roses bowl was the Outkast bowl. And it was benefits that had like health benefits in them, right? So they're high in antioxidants. They're the ladies bowl has health benefits for women's reproductive system. The peaches bowl, it tastes like peach cobbler, but we make our own, you know, crumble that's like a granola. Like the roses bowl, it literally has rose water in it. But it's great for men's reproductive system, you know, the berries. So there's just so many benefits to having a healthier option and also healthier for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that I wanted to have, especially being a Black woman, especially having, you know, food, like food deserts are real. Like you'll be in a space where you're like, bro, I just want a smoothie right now. Like 2 years ago, we got a smoothie, a tropical smoothie over there by the East Side. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, what is this? And I knew the guy, I found out, you know, I knew the guy that owned it or was a part owner. And I was like, I was like one of the first people. Cause I was like, I'm so proud of you guys. And I knew acai was going to be a hit from scratch. Like from jump, I knew acai was going to be something that was going to move, because if you look into the acai, you know, the history of it, first of all, it's from Brazil, but it's something that people have eaten for breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything they want for years. And I knew it was a growing market. And so I was like, all right, well, this was before Smoothie King got it, Tropical Smoothie got it. All of the, like, people did not have acai bowls in their companies before I started my business. Mm. And I knew that I had to, like, start it when I started it, so that I knew that when they started doing their own thing, that mine would still stay niche. Mine has, it's prepackaged. It, you can freeze it up to, like, 4 months, and it could still be good.
So how do you sell it? Like, where do you sell it?
Direct to consumer. I do it at pop-ups. You know, I'm at InvestFest. Right now, I actually have a setup. So at BET Experience, I was told that there was going to be like thousands of people. You know, I made my first oopsie and kind of came with too much product. Mm. And I spent a lot of, like, it was my first hit, real hit. And I was like, bruh, this, like, it damn near makes you feel like you want to, like, throw, like, you sick. You sick when you lose money in investments. And I was like, what do I do to come back from this? And I was like, okay, I need to leave a pallet out here in Redlands, California, and I just need to move it. Like, I need to move it in any ways. Like, I call myself the berry dealer because I say it like I'm a dealer. Like, okay, we need to move these acai bowls. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a setup in at somebody's movie set. You know, I've done movie sets with Amazon. We've done video sets. We've done I did Ad Week not too long ago, you know, and I showed up as a host. Shout out to Deja, you know, and Charles, and I showed up as a host. But the next day, Barry's Scottsdale partnered with us, and, you know, we were able to give out bowls to everyone that was there for the class, for a workout class. So, you know, you just kind of utilize as much like leverage as you can with whatever you're doing, whatever space I'm going to be in. I need my bowls there. There's no reason that they shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with you guys, I think I really appreciated having that platform to be able to give them out, to be able to sell them whenever you all are doing anything. It's always been something. So I just love the bowls down. I've even had, you know, certain celebrities name drop it, and, you know, it's been in Forbes, been name dropped before in Forbes before. Shout out to Revolt Summit. They literally had it there before. I mean, it's been in places it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Me and ASAP Ferg loves the bowls so much that he was like, I want to do a collab. Like, it just, it's there. So I know that people love the bowls. It's more so of, how do I scale it? Obviously, grocery stores, obviously, you know, there's airport options. There's so many options and ways you can take it. And that's kind of something why, that's like what I'm looking for. Like, my next goal is to kind of find a person that wants to partner, and like an actual VC or, you know, an angel investor, someone that can really truly help and like help me scale it. Cause yeah. I mean, I'll go from days where I'm like, I'm about to sell this company. I done did what I need to do. Let me get my money and let me get gone. Instead of that, I'm like, no. And then I'll have my little Gemini moment. I'm like, okay, you was tripping. Like, you know, you need legacy is important to you. And you know that you need to have something for the people that come after you. And I think fruit, acai, like anything that you know is going to be a healthier benefit to the world, you mm-hmm. keep. You keep.
What would be that first few items, action items, right? I'm sure somebody's probably listening to this right now. They're saying, oh, I need to get in contact with her. Mm. Let's say that it is an angel investor. What would the extra capital do for the business?
Immediately, month one? Right?
Yeah.
Well, for starters, I would be able to get a distributor that can help me get them in grocery stores that would be able to make 30,000 units mm-hmm. in like a week span or a couple of weeks, you know, mm-hmm. a month span. So we can get it out. We can get that money back immediately. Like, we know what it needs to do. Meet with a chemist to be able to find out what, you know, the actual, how long they can last. Like, when it's like, okay, Paige, this product is no more good. Because I'll have people that eat it and I'm like, so how you feeling after that? You okay? And I'm like, oh, they're like, yeah, they're good. And the nutritional facts are on there. You know, everything's on there for them. But it's like there are things that are small details that I want to grow it in. Even figuring out, I need people to come with things that I don't have. And I think that's the thing, because I'm a person that's a go-getter in a way where I'm going to figure it out. Like, I know that I can get offered a kiosk in an airport. Why would that make sense for us to do instead of going into the grocery stores? Help me help myself and then help us. Like, you know, or do we want to get more SKUs or do we want to get rid of all of these? Like, you know, those questions are things that I want to talk with someone with. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, I have a business manager, Jessica Couch. She's been able to help me, you know, organize. But to be the charismatic person I am and try to set up stuff and then also do the things on the backside, I can't do it both. So it has to be someone that's like more knowledgeable on it than I am. And that has actually proven that they've had a product that they've done it with. I get closer every week, you know. I go to Afrotech and then there's a Target product, you know, manager, and she's like, send me the story, let's get it. You know, have you tried out? Have you done any accelerator programs? Have you done any grants? I'm like, have I? You know, I've submitted plenty of times, but it's like, it gives, who do you know? It's like, you know, it's like, what do you do? So I think, how do I add that person to my team? How do I find that person? So that is definitely the goal. Mm-hmm.
So what's your position with Grey Goose?
I'm a business manager for real, y'all. Okay, so like, honestly, being an entrepreneur, going into a title or a corporate setting is like crazy, because you're just like, they're doing background checks, they're doing all the things, like you got training, but it's been beautiful. So I actually, shout out to Jordan Gibbs, and he and I met through his brother and family and friends and another guy named Yusuf. He was working with an incredible A3C festival that we used to have here in Atlanta. And he was just like, yo, I mean, we're hiring for this new position, or this position that I am now giving you over the role over to. And I was like, all right, well, like, I'm not really like, you know, I mean, I never really had a resume, but I had it, but like around college. And I would send that resume out and I would have a meeting. I would take a meeting with a label like Interscope, or people would actually set these things up with me. And then they'd be like, we can't, like, you deserve something bigger than this role. Like, you're bigger than this. So it was like, how do I find a role that made sense for Paige Cherie Addison? Like, what does it look like? And so I just got the role of the Multicultural Lifestyle Curator of Atlanta. And that is, you know, encompassing not only representing the brand in all of my life and the lifestyle I have, but how that brand elevates, you know, and how I can continue bringing the elevation to the brand through Atlanta's eyes, right? And in the right eyes, like, we don't have just hookah bars and lounges. Like, we have elevated experiences. We literally have screenings of movies that are doing numbers on, you know, in different types of film, you know, the film world, you know, and I think that's just like beautiful to see. We have art, we have the Giants exhibit right now at the art, you know, the High Museum, like things that truly show the elevation of Atlanta. And so I'm ready and excited to be able to curate those experiences alongside the other team members that I have. We have a team member, Lester, in Chicago. I'm the only female on the team. So like I'm like a first lady. But Omo in DC, and then Jordan Gibbs, he's like now over, he oversees all of it and he's in Atlanta with me. So yeah, it's kind of dope because it's like you're showing up as yourself, you're showing up to learn, but you're also seeing how from a corporate standpoint, you know, how the insides of things work and how many teams there are to be able to just like grow, like, they make it, they do it. And then there's and this, and then they have that. And then there's that. Like, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah. So congratulations, first and foremost. Some people might be sitting here watching this and saying, like, she looks super familiar. Like, this, I know her from somewhere that they just can't figure it out. Maybe it was in Vest Fest, maybe mm-hmm. some other summit, or maybe it was reality TV. So let's talk about the reality TV situation. What you learned from it, how it might have helped or hindered your brand.
That's true.
Yeah, so let's get into it.
You know, I did a TV show. It was a dating show. And when I shot it, it was actually supposed to be on another, I think it's supposed to be on VH1. I don't remember. I just remember that my friend Tam, she's from Atlanta, one of my good homegirls from college. And we from Atlanta for real, like, you know, when you know each other, when you know, you don't really have to go to the same high school to know people, right? In Atlanta, you like, you know, you kind of like have some of the same friends and then you just kind of intertwine. And she calls me up and the two questions, mind you, this was right around when I was hosting Revolt. So she's like, two questions. Are you dating and are you vaccinated? And I'm like, girl, like, who asks questions like this? Like,
two important questions
that are just so like, it's giving invasive. And so I was like, I'm vaccinated and I wasn't dating at the time. And so I think people were choosing to take, you know, to be in that role of, yeah, we're seeing each other, but they weren't like understanding the value of having Paige Cherie standing beside you. And I think there was something that was in me that was just like, yeah, I'm gonna do it to show them all. Like, you should have, could have, would have. And now all those things, wrong way to go into it. However, I also thought about my businesses and the things that of me as a personality, what I would want to do. So I think that was a 2021. Because I think you guys were like around when I was like, okay, you guys, yeah,
we saw you right before when you said you were about to do it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm about to sign. And y'all were like, so you're doing it? And I was like, no, I'm literally about to sign the paperwork. Like, my lawyer is in here right now while I'm going on and off of stage for Revolt. And I was just like, you know, I got advice from all different managers and friends, and they were like, it can't really hurt. And I just did it, and it was a great experience, you know, 2 months, 3 months in Vancouver, you know, being with the girls, we go in a hall. I found out we just go in a hall. I didn't have any clue what reality TV was, y'all. I really didn't. I barely watched TV, like especially reality TV growing up. And so I didn't know what to expect. And all I'm thinking about is I'm going to go in here. I'm going to make sure I do what I need to do. I'm going in here as myself. And whatever happens, happens. And I had a good time. I did. I was very present. And I focused a lot. It didn't, you know, obviously you walk in a room full of men and you're like, okay, what's tea? Like, what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? And then like, they're like, literally, we're going to set up dates and you guys are just going to go on them. And you're going to be seen in a light where you're supposed to. That is crazy. And so, yeah, I just like walked in and there was this guy there and I was like, okay, he was pretty. Yeah, it was crazy. I have to cut that. And I walk in and this guy was just like looking at me and I was like, all right, I choose him. And like, it wasn't like I didn't go into the experience the way I would have with knowing what I know now, but I definitely never regret anything I do because I'm like, that was what it was supposed to be. I was supposed to learn something. I was supposed to grow. And MTV ended up being the one that put it out. I was literally in Ibiza, with Janelle at the time, my friend. And I'm like, they're like, 3 years later, we're about to put the show out. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I forgot all about that show. But I will say this. I know now that if I were to do anything with reality TV or TV or film or anything ever again, it would need to be produced by me, or at least on the production team. And I would want to truthfully have a hand in what people get to see, because I think the real is the most important part of reality, and people don't, it's not as much, you know. I think there are.
So you don't think you will fairly portray it?
Oh, I mean, I'm a crier. So I think, you know, they show me crying. I'm going to cry. If anybody knows me out there, they know. Hey, excuse me. Paige is going to cry every time. And then I'm going to get to the business. I'm going to get down to everything I need to do.
Yeah.
And that's how it went. It was like, okay, y'all, I did a TV show. Everybody relax. Like, yeah, I know y'all are like, when did you do this? When did you have time? And it's like, yeah, I did it. And then now we're here. And let's continue. Let's carry on.
So do you think that helped you?
I don't think it hindered. I think it was a moment in time that, like, in your 20s, you can do. You can do things that you're like, ah, I'm 30 now. I probably wouldn't do that. But, like, I did it. I don't regret it.
I'm just asking.
I don't think it helped nor hindered. I don't think it really... It was an experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I do things for. I experience life.
Yeah.
I'm not choosing to do things for another person's like opinion on it. I'm just being. And then, you know, if I make a decision that I'm like, I wouldn't do anymore, cool.
Yeah.
The Gemini in me is like, okay, moving on. Like, there's five more people in me.
That's
we're continuing.
Yeah.
The next person that you never met is here, and she's here. Like, she's got a role at Grey Goose, you know? Like, she's. I'm genuinely proud of the connection that I saw from Black women when we...
It was four of y'all, right?
It was three of us.
Three, okay.
But from the connection of Black women that we were able to get, because we didn't get a reunion show, and I produced one, and I felt like... You know, a lot of people had mixed emotions on why we didn't. And I was like, it's okay. I'll give you guys an update on my life. I don't care. But I do want you guys to know that, like, focus on understanding that, like, even if my love story didn't work out, like, in the way you had hoped it to be or how I had hoped it to be from this, like, don't ever think that it's not happening for you or don't think it's not coming. I wanted it to be a hopeful thing. I wanted it to be a joyous occasion. Like, I wanted it to be something of people understanding, like, first of all, Black women deserve to be seen on all platforms like that in that light, right? Not mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, we're going to be pulling each other hair out. We about to be arguing. We about to be doing some stuff that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Like, we're genuinely trying. We genuinely all want the same things. Love, prosperity, abundance, enjoyment in life, money, and to just settle down in a ways we want, you know? So, yeah, I really... Like I said, it didn't hinder it. You definitely need to always have a plan when it comes out. And I mm-hmm. wasn't able to have a plan. Like, I wasn't able to be like, all right, let me set the PR up. Let me make sure I got my product drop in on this or having my, mm-hmm. you know, like, I wanted to focus on that. And I think because of the fact that the relationship didn't work out, I think people were kind of like, well, why don't, like, we want to know the story. Like, what happened? And it's just like, girl, like... Y'all never knew my life, my insides of my life before. And I gave y'all this because it was something that was like an experience that I wanted to experience. Not because I was like, oh, y'all gonna see it. No, I'm like, I got different brands. I got different things that I want other than this to be the forefront of it. So.
You have it. Well.
I did it.
Well, appreciate you. How can they follow you? How can they get information on the company? Like, what's all of that?
Well, for starters, I definitely want to make sure I shout out my sister's children's book.
Yes.
On investment and children's literacy. Ivan in India is coming out, and that one's like the newer one. Okay. And that one is like so much. She's got so many great things, but she really started that because she was a school teacher. She was on the school board. She was seeing in the classroom in real time, like, how these kids genuinely didn't have any knowledge of what to do with their, like, how what savings would even look like. And I think she had a student once tell her, like, you know, her sibling was have like younger, you know, like a teenager was needing to like go to school and had to drop out of like high school to go pay for their parents' bills. And so she was like, okay, well, the student said that as a second grader, like, I want to learn about money. And so she just created that, even if she wasn't, she was learning as she was going through her financial, her, you know, status. She just understood that that's something that they needed to learn and have. So she has Savannah's savings jar. Now she's on Ivan in India. She got the forward done by Andrew Young. And so that history of Atlanta and the importance of kids seeing, you know, how what savings looks like at a young age is very important to me and my family. So I definitely want to shout that out. So Chelsea Addison, Ivan in India, Savannah's savings jar, financial literacy. Do it. And then you can find me on all platforms at Paige Sharie, PAIGESHARI. You can go to my website for Soulful Bowls, SOULFULL bowls.com. Follow us on Instagram at Berry Dealer ATL. You know, if y'all got the money, VC, let's talk it. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk it.
Let's talk about it. Out.
PSA. That's the PSA.
Also, shout out to Grey Goose for hiring a real one. And I hope you guys come to the Vlogsgiving tonight. I really want y'all there. I really want y'all there.
Appreciate
it. We should have some conversations with them.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey, let's talk, because I'm the one you should talk to.
That's true. That's
yeah.
our PSA.
Yeah. It's that PSA coming to y'all live. I appreciate y'all, though.
Love is love.
All love.
All right, guys. Thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
When you're with Amex Business Platinum, you have the card that helps you do more of what you love, like a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And with 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, going the extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.